Hello, friends. This is Cliff Knight from Equippers International. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We want to lift up Jesus and provide a place for you to learn more about Him and to grow in your relationship with Him. If you find the podcast helpful, feel free to share it with others. We believe it will be a source of blessing and encouragement, and you will be strengthened in your relationship with Jesus. Welcome back to the podcast. We're in Romans chapter 8, working our way through verses 18 through 25, some beautiful verses. We're talking about how Paul kind of dives into some really deep things without giving us fair warning, but that's okay. So we're walking through it with him, and he's giving us some insight into the nature of God's redemption and how far-reaching it's going to be. We looked at that in the previous episode. I'm going to read from verse 22, where Paul continues along this line of thought, and then we'll make some comments. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Paul's still talking along the lines of creation. And he says there in verse 22 that we know that all of creation is groaning, and it also is suffering, and it's suffering the pains of childbirth. And obviously, he's personifying all of creation. He's saying that creation is like being in a process of childbirth, and as a result, it groans. Now, obviously, he's personifying creation, but nonetheless, he's giving us insight into a deep spiritual truth that even all of creation has been impacted by the fall, by sin, by death, by the things that work contradictory to God's purposes. Now, things are such, according to God's economy, that the redemption process has been accomplished in Christ. There's nothing left for God to do, so to speak, in order to secure redemption of humanity and redemption of all of creation. But the mystery of God is that things work along a time clock. This is something that we have to understand if we're ever going to get our heads around how God is busy working to bring things to culmination. He has done everything necessary, but the process of all that working out into every corner of creation, so to speak, is on a timeline, and God knows that timeline. And right here, Paul's letting us know that even until now, he says, until now, again, back to our interpretation of Scripture, Paul's now is his now. But I believe we're safe to say that this is one of those nows that we can carry forward 2,000 years in time and bring it into our now. Why do I believe that? Because I believe that nothing has fundamentally changed regarding creation between the time Paul wrote Romans and now. Creation itself is still groaning. God has not fully redeemed creation like he's going to. Now, he has brought redemption to humanity, and many people have entered into that beautiful gift of redemption that comes by believing in Christ, exactly how Paul has explained here in the book of Romans. But even in that, Paul is going to give us a beautiful insight in verse 23, where he says, and not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. He's saying, even though we've been redeemed, even though we have received the deposit of God's Spirit within our lives, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Remember, he's told us this beautiful process in the Christian life where we receive the gift of the Spirit, and the Spirit encourages us. It speaks into our identity. It leads us into all truth, but it also serves as a first fruit. Now, this first fruit is a very important concept. It's a concept that Paul's picking up from basically first century economics. It goes like this, very similar to the way markets even work today. In an agricultural environment, when there are crops that are being grown, back in the biblical times, as soon as the crop began to produce first fruits, the farmer would pick some of those first fruits, and he would go to the merchants, and he would show them the first fruits, and he would tell them, "This is the first fruits of my harvest. There is more to come that looks exactly like this." And then he could tell the merchants what to expect as far as quantities, but as far as his quality, the fruit that came later was going to be of the same quality as the first fruits. And this is exactly what Paul's saying. He's saying, we have received the quality of the Spirit. There's nothing different in the first fruits and the fruits that follow. Paul's just saying that the Holy Spirit is a first fruit, and the ultimate harvest is going to be our resurrected bodies. That's exactly what Paul says. He says, we groan in ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. This is an eschatological verse. This has to do with what's going to happen in the end. We're all going to be resurrected. You have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to flesh all of this out in Paul's teaching on the resurrection. And the resurrection is the foundational truth about the Christian life that gives us an anchor into the future. It secures our identity as sons and daughters because we are going to receive a redeemed, resurrected body in the exact likeness of Jesus. Jesus was the first fruit from the dead. He was the first person ever to be resurrected into newness of life. I talk about this when I teach on life and death, and I teach on the difference between someone being resuscitated from the dead only to die again. Now, I believe that has happened in history. We know from the accounts in the Bible where people were raised from the dead, but they were not raised in a redeemed, resurrected condition. They were resuscitated to their previous form of human life, only to die again subsequently at some time in the future. But Jesus is not like that. He is raised from the dead, imperishable and immortal and eternal. He is now a life-giving spirit, and he imparts the deposit, the first fruit deposit of that in our lives as believers. And so while in this time period, in the time period that we're still on earth, we can and we do groan because we want to partake of that redeemed, resurrected experience. Our bodies are longing. How much I am growing more aware of this, the older I get, my body is decaying. It's exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians. Though the outer man is decaying, the inner man, the spirit man within us is being renewed day by day. But in that tension of that meantime, we groan. Paul's going to pick up this language of groaning all throughout these verses. He's already told us that the creation groans, and now he's telling us that we ourselves groan because we, along with creation, desire the ultimate expression of God's redemption, and it is coming. And Paul is going to tell us in the following verses what our perspective should be as we eagerly wait for it. So be strong and courageous and love Jesus more.